shine like lights in the world as you hold on to the word of life. Alleluia.
Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
The Pharisees went off and plotted how they might entrap Jesus in speech. They sent their disciples to him with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are a truthful man, and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. And you are not concerned with anyone's opinion, for you do not regard a person's status. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not?" Knowing their malice, Jesus said, "Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin that pays the census tax." Then they handed him a Roman coin. He said to them, "Whose image is this, and whose inscription?" They replied, "Caesar's." At that he said to them, "Then repay to Caesar that what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." The Gospel of the Lord.
At Vanderbilt University, there used to be a mathematics professor by name Dr. Madison Sherratt. And he was there for many years. Before giving a test, the professor would admonish his class, "Today, I'm going to give you two examinations, one in trigonometry, and the other in honesty. I hope you will pass both of them. Fulfilling your obligation to your teacher and to your God. If you fail, fail for trigonometry." He didn't say the rest of it. "If you fail, fail for trigonometry." There are many people, good people in the world, who can pass trigonometry, but there are not many people who are not able to pass the examination of honesty, the debt that we owe to God. This piece of advice sounds like what Jesus said today in the gospel: give back to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God. When that whole narration is being proclaimed by the deacon, we almost felt, well, Jesus did very well. He literally exposed them. That's the feeling that comes over us. But there's something more to understand behind all that. The one point that Jesus is bringing about is the hypocrisy of the Jews who came to meet him. There are two groups that are coming. That is very important for us to notice. The gospel passage very clearly mentions that. One group is the Pharisees, the other group is the Herodians. There are two groups of people coming to Jesus. They are opposed to each other. With regard to census tax, the Pharisees, who believe that only God is the king, and therefore we don't need to pay taxes to anyone except to upkeep of the temple of Jerusalem, God's house. So they were people who were opposed to paying tax to Romans. On the other hand, the Herodians, they are also Jews, but they followed Herod. Herod is the one who went to Rome, got his kingship from the emperor Tiberius by paying large sum of money. And then he became the king of Jerusalem and the king of Palestine, that area. But he had to, because he submitted himself to the emperor of Rome, Tiberius, he had to pay an annual tax. So in order to keep up all these things, the upkeep of the kingdom, the temple, the palace, all administration and everything, he needed tax. Also, he needed tax to pay the tribute that he's supposed to be paying every year to Caesar. So these are the two groups. One group is opposed, one group is for paying tax. And Jesus is asked a question. That is the trick of the question itself. Is it lawful to pay census tax to Caesar? If Jesus were to say it is not lawful, then the Herodians will be against him. They will report to Rome, and Rome will come and destroy and kill him as a zealot. If, on the other hand, he sides with the Pharisees, then the Herodians will again be against him. So you see how there is what is called the catch-22. If you are good for with one, then you are not good with the other. You are bad for the other. The catch-22 situation, or as we call it in psychology, the double bind that we have. That is where Jesus is. And between the two horns of this dilemma, what does Jesus? Jesus passes through the middle of it, and so we feel, oh, he is... silence the whole people. But what he is exposing is exactly their hypocrisy. That comes afterwards. As soon as they come and ask the question, Jesus says these words, we know you are so and so. They're praising him sky high. And then he says, is it lawful? Why are you testing me? As if I don't know what is in your mind. It's a very pertinent question. Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? You are a hypocrite. That's why you are asking. Both of you are hypocrites. This is the temple area in which we are discussing. In the temple, there is only one tax, the temple tax. And the temple tax is to be paid in Palestinian coin, not in Roman coin. Whereas tax to Romans should be paid only in Roman coin. That was the rule. And so Jesus asks, show me a coin, that's what he says. He didn't even say, give me a Roman coin. And they have immediately the Roman coin in the temple where it is not needed at all. They have to produce. It is in the hands of the Pharisees. It is in the hands of the Herodians. So if, for example, the Pharisees who said God is the only one, then why does he hold on to a money that has the inscription, as Jesus, whose image is this? Of course, it was Tiberius Caesar's image. Tiberius Caesar, Pontifex Maximus, son of Augustus, the divine son of Augustus Caesar. That is how it is inscribed on the... So it was so clear that if they held on to it, that they are worshipping that power, that Caesar, as their God. And Jesus exposed them so well and said, this is not what the temple tax is about. This is not about that. Then Jesus uses the word, whose image is there on that? That's the next question he is asking. Tell me whose image is there. Jesus doesn't even take the coin into his hand probably. Or he takes and shows him, and they say, it is Caesar's. The word play is on image. These Pharisees and the scribes and these Herodians who came knew so well that word image recalled creation. creation of man, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says like this, in God's image, he made them. He made them male and female. In his image and likeness, he made them. That is what. So those who heard Jesus saying, whose image is this? They immediately recalled this and said, what is the image that you are carrying around with you? The image that you are carrying around with you is that of the Caesar, not of your God. That is where Jesus exposed them more, exposed the Herodians and the Pharisees much more than by saying an answer between the dilemma horns. This can be even applied today to us. We must ask ourselves, well, whose image am I holding on? Am I holding that image God gave to me as the child of God at baptism? Or confirmed and sealed with the seal of confirmation? Am I holding that all the time? Am I projecting and behaving as if a person who has the image of Christ in me? Anyone who has been baptized and is reborn is living the life of Christ. That is the image that he should be showing. He should be projecting to the world. What is the image that you and I are projecting to the world? So in order to project, we ourselves should have it in our minds and hearts first and foremost. We must have the image of God, the imago Dei, they call it. There is a theology altogether differently to speak about, but it's more about the likeness of God. We are to become more and more like God. And Jesus was saying, you people, you come into the temple and then you say you belong to God. This temple is ours. You hold an image that is not permissible at all. In fact, the Jewish temple in Jerusalem didn't have any image at all. No pictures. Because God could not be pictured. The only thing was the seraphs and the Ark of the Covenant that was there. And that is what we are also today reflecting upon, the image of God that is in you and in me. Now we're coming back to rendering to God. If we are the image of God, everything belongs to God. If you accept that I am in the image of God created, then all of me, all of mine belongs to God. Are you and me ready to give all of that to God? From step one to step two and step three, Jesus is going deeper and deeper into your heart to ask the question yourself and myself. Do I carry the image of God? Do I project that image to God, of Christ himself? And when I have the image of God, do I come to the realization that all, everything of mine belongs to God? St. Ignatius of Loyola had that famous prayer, Suscipe. Take, O Lord, everything that I have. It has come as the result of a total contemplation. Take all my will, take everything, all of myself. Exact words I don't have, but the prayer starts with Suscipe Domine. Take, O Lord. And then he says, all that I have and am, they are given to me by you. I restore them all to you. I want only your love and your grace. That's how the prayer ends. That spirituality is what we are expected to practice as Catholics and Christians. When Jesus says, render to God what belongs to God, everything belongs to God, in fact. So the big distinction that nowadays they have between religion and state is somewhat out of place. For some certain practices and certain administrative aspects, maybe religion must stay away from politics. But a politics without religion is no politics, really. A policy without religion, without value, is no religion at all. See how much we can go deeper and deeper to explain and understand what Jesus means. Render to God what belongs to God. Amen.